which, as Chris has said, has probably been heard by so many of us so many times. And yet, how challenging is this story? Because I think, actually, that this parable isn't just specific to those who aren't Christians and who are hearing the word of God for the first time. I actually think this parable can also be used for wherever we are on our faith journey. And I actually think it can be used as something of a barometer to try and work out where we are at different stages in our spiritual walk. The parable of the sower, it's in three of the four Gospels. That's three of the first books of the New Testament. And we're looking deliberately at the retelling in Luke. And I want us to scoot on a little bit, because in chapter 8, verse 18, it reads, "Therefore, consider carefully how you listen." Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. If you ever have about 30 to 40 minutes, I would really recommend you Google A.W. Tozer's sermon on the parable of the sower. It is incredibly challenging. And he says, hearing is a divine art. This parable is all about hearing. And are we hearing? Well, never has the divine art of listening ever been known better than by a mum trying to get their child ready for school in the morning. Let me give you a little window into our own house on a school morning. Rhys, come and brush your teeth. Okay. Nothing. Rhys, come and brush your teeth. Come in. Nothing. Rhys! Yeah, I have no patience, poor parenting. That sort of, come on child, kind of follows through from the brushing of the teeth to the washing of the face to the getting changed to doing hair until all is done. All is at peace again because Rhys is back doing what Rhys wants to do, which is largely playing. But my son wonderfully illustrates he has heard, but he's not hearing. And this passage is saying to us, time and time again, are you hearing? Luke 8:8, Ella read it beautifully for us. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. John Piper, you know I love John Piper, he's a more contemporary American preacher, and he says this is the hearing parable. So I want to start with an uncomfortable challenge. How are we hearing this morning? How have you heard during the week when maybe you've been listening to a sermon podcast in your car or reading the Bible in your quiet times? How are we hearing when you came under somebody's sermon, sat here or in a different church last Sunday? Because in Luke, for me at least, as I read it, the focus here isn't the sower, isn't the seed, although we're going to talk about the seed in a minute. It's about the land that seed falls on. The heart. When you encounter the word of God, the powerful, life-changing word of God, the seed, what heart is it landing in? What heart is it landing on? And are we actually hearing? Let's look at the seed for a moment, because it's really important to understand the power of the word of God. The seed is the power of the word of God because it brings life. the Bible tells us. And I was trying to be a little bit clever and think, what can I compare this to? What in our modern world has extreme power? Well, perhaps left field. Well, you all, if you know me well, you know I am a little like that. I thought, ooh, the nuclear bomb is quite powerful. So I started to do a little bit of research on a nuclear bomb, as I do. There are reams of information on the progression of how the nuclear bomb came to be as we know it today. And I'm only giving you a few. In 1895, a German physicist discovers X-ray. 1896, a French physicist discovers radioactivity. In 1935, James Chadwick wins the Nobel Prize in Physics for discovering the neutron. 1939, I'm not quite sure how to say this, fission, thank you, is discovered, and that excess neutrons can be emitted and that a bomb is therefore possible. In 1941, Winston Churchill tells the British Chief of Staff to develop an atomic bomb. The most powerful armament a government can own. What is the result of this phenomenal power? We know of Hiroshima and the devastation it caused. But when you look at what the scientists say about the effect of this power, they say it's a blast of thermal radiation. It causes destruction in seconds. And the effects, instant and environmental, inflict damage that extend over years. Power. But that is power that destroys. And the Bible, the seed, the Word of God, is the power of Jesus Christ that brings saving life. The same power that brings Jesus back from the dead, if you are a Christian this morning, lives inside of you. And it's not for destruction like the nuclear bomb. It's for life-changing, life-transforming. So when we hear the Word of God, when we hear it for the first time, for the millionth time, this seed is powerful. It brings life. And that's just a fact. I'm saying that deliberately because maybe there are people in our lives that we have been trying to share Jesus with and seen no change. Maybe we are very reluctant to do the whole sharing Jesus with people thing because we think they're just going to say no and they're not in a place to hear. But what the Bible shows us, that we're this exceedingly powerful seed. Human, sinful man can change. If you're a Christian this morning, you're an example of that. And Jesus came, died on the cross, took all our sin that we deserve to be told off for. And he does that for what reason? To give us life and life to the full. That's what John 10:10 says. Those in your life who don't know Jesus, they can. Because this, the gospel message, is powerful, life changing. But for the seed, for the Word of God to do its work, it has to be told. Let me go back to the Reese brushing teeth illustration. I can't assume that Reese is going to know how to brush his teeth because I take him to the dentist a couple of months every year. I can't assume that he's going to know how to brush his teeth or why he needs to brush his teeth because he watches Jan and I do it daily. I have to tell him, beg him, bribe him. You have to brush your teeth, because if you don't, they get sore, they get rotten, and they will hurt. That works. Parents out there. In the same measure, I can't assume that my friends, my family, people in Lisvain that I'm connecting with, will know the life-changing power of the word of Jesus, the redemptive message, which is just the gospel message, good news, unless I tell them. I can't assume that because they know I come here to church every Sunday, because they know I'm a Christian, because I represent the church on some of their boards of trustees, I can't assume that that's enough for them to have a chance to hear. I have to tell. I'll tell you an example of where I failed this week, actually. Although I part failed. We were in Pebbles on Monday morning, our mums and tots group, and we had heard that another tots group was happening on Monday mornings as well. And we were all chatting about this and thinking, oh, you know. And I kind of said, oh, there's ladies that I was talking to, they weren't Christians, right? So I said, do you know what, maybe we should just extend a hand of kindness and just say, give us your flyers, we'll put them on the desk in Pebbles. Well, if I did, this one lady, she was, these ladies are lovely, right? Lovely, lovely. But she said, I can see you trying to be a bigger person there, but I think that's a bit silly because we're on the same morning. And then I said, yeah, but I thought, be brave, Carlson. I said, yeah, but we're trying to be a bit like Jesus, aren't we? And then the other lady said, yeah, but if Jesus was here now, he'd say to you, it's stupid having two mums and tots on the same morning in the same village. And I was like, yeah, perhaps. But maybe he'd say, love me first. Love others, no matter what. Now, I was trying to share kingdom values there. The word of God. Not the gospel, but the word of God. And that would have landed on two hearts in two different places. What happens with that now is up to God and up to them. But I had to say it. I had to say it to show a somewhat different way. What hearts did those kingdom values land in and on? Well, the parable of the sower, as many of us will know well, shows us four types of heart. And I want to just say to you one more time, even if you are a Christian and have been for many years, use it as a barometer to check where your heart is. Because you know what? I've been in this scripture all week for this morning, and I know clearly where my heart is. The word of God always brings life. That's a given. And that seed, this word of God is full of life. But the heart it falls on determines if life happens, if anything grows, if anything changes. So the first, the seed that falls on the path. Jesus is asked to explain this story to his own disciples. And in verse 12, when he's describing what the seed on the path is about, he says, those along the path are those who hear, and then the devil comes, takes it away from their hearts. That is quite sobering. There are some who will hear it, but But it's an immediate no. It's gone before it can take root. No. Absolute rejection. What's even more sobering is that the word used here is in the Greek is blindness. It comes in Ephesians 4:17-19, and it says that this blindness is callousness. People's hearts are callous. And it's the same Greek word that's used for the Pharisees and those who persecuted and killed Jesus. There are those of people, maybe us this morning, who will hear this word, this powerful, life-changing, life-giving seed, and say no. I have a very dear friend. She's one of my best friends from university, so we've been friends for over 20 years. And when I went to university, to begin with, I didn't particularly live a very Christian life. A year and a half in, God challenges me when I come back for a Christmas break back to my home church. And I know I have to go back in with now a whole bunch of non-Christian friends and try and be Jesus. And, take my Bible that was buried under textbooks from under my coffee table in my halls of residence, put it on the table. I remember one of my best friends going, "What's that about? You weren't like that before." I'm like, "I know, I'm sorry, but I am a Christian. I love Jesus. I'm going to try and do it a bit different." She goes, "Well, you need to know right now, I'm not interested. Sorry for you, but I'm not interested." 20 plus years on, she's still in the same place. I'm not sure what that says about my evangelism, but there we are. But she still says no. But I don't want you to get discouraged with that. Do not despair. This word is more powerful than the nuclear bomb. It can change lives. It can change us here, right now, no matter how close, how far, how middling you are from God this morning. And the Bible says in Romans 10, if somebody doesn't preach, how are they going to hear? I can't give up on my university friend. I have to keep telling. I've got to be a bit posh here. I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to say it because I want to not just discourage you about the no's. There's something called preemptive grace. I don't understand it. I'm not sure anybody does. But basically, God does a bit of a work in somebody's heart before they hear the word of God that then causes them to change. That's what you want to be begging for. Please do a preemptive work, preemptive grace. Because this could change people's lives. Do not give up. The second ground is the rocky ground. Jesus explains this to his disciples by saying, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. So people hear this life-changing word, they go, "Yes, that's amazing, I'm in." Then life happens, and they walk away. Fair weather supporters. I've got a fantastic illustration for this. My husband and his brothers have been Arsenal supporters since they were little. He doesn't know I'm going to say this story, because they were brought up in London. And when we lived in Swansea, he, his elder brother and a friend managed to bag some tickets to watch Arsenal play Everton. What they failed to realise, this is Jan's disorganisation all over, is that the tickets had them seated in the Everton stands. As soon as they realised this, these fair weather supporters zipped up their Arsenal shirts underneath their coats. And in order to survive, wait till you hear what they do now. Arsenal would score. not to be killed by fellow Everton supporters. They started to go, yeah! They were supporting the wrong team to not get killed. Not be beaten up because they were in the wrong stand. This morning, life can be difficult for all of us. But once we've heard this word of God, if we have ears that are really hearing, once we allow it to seep into the deepest parts of our heart, no matter what happens in life, no matter what, we are rooted in Him. But there will be those who go, this is too hard, I'm walking away. Is that you this morning? I don't know. Then the third one, the thorny ground. Jesus says to his disciples, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. This is quite simply a question of priority. These guys hear the word of God and go, yes. They start to grow, start to flourish. And then again, life happens. And where does God get shifted then? A job promotion perhaps comes up. Or a new friendship or a new relationship. And suddenly that's what's more important than anything that God is. And it chokes the life out of the transformative power of Jesus Christ that has been planted in our hearts. Where does God rank in your list of priorities this morning? Because if He's not first, we get choked. The final soil, the good soil. And I've chosen Luke especially because of verse 15. Jesus says to his disciples, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. The good heart. The good heart takes this transformative word of God, this seed, plants it deep. And when the rocks come, life happens. When your priorities get shifted left, right and centre and choke the life out of you, you go, I'm going to persevere through because this is what counts. This is what counts. And then when we do that, we produce a crop. We see people around us changing. People around us wanting to know Jesus. We change. Once we are those who hear with ears that are hearing, so things start to happen. So again, I ask, which one of these soils this morning is the best picture for where you are at? If you don't have faith, if you do have faith, what this parable does, what these pictures of hearts that hear show us, is that at any one point in time we can be responding to this life-powering word of God in a way that is not helping us, but we can move forward in faith and God can change us. So no matter what life is throwing your way this morning, no matter what is taking priority over Him, force this seed deep into your heart. deep, where your ears can truly hear and your eyes can truly see. So when you then read verse 18 again, it suddenly sounds like an emphatic cry, doesn't it? Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Listening is a divine art. We have to decide where we are at in our listening. And if we are his this morning, we have to tell. We have to. I want to read a scripture that John shared in church meeting on Monday. Matthew 9:37. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into this harvest field." There are more ears to hear out there than we can ever possibly know. If you're a Christian this morning, we have to be the sower who scatters liberally. If you're a farmer, you may read this story and think, man, he's a bit daft in the way he's planting these seeds. But the lesson is we scatter liberally, wherever we are, whoever we are with. We have a mission week coming up. Make that your first step to scatter some seed. I unashamedly ask for that. That's the point of it. Think about your friends and your family this week who don't know. How can you share with them? I was speaking to somebody who's on a faith journey about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and we were talking about where she currently is at, and we decided to read the Bible together and things. And she said that what she didn't realise was that she was scattering the seed with her own husband. She was saying our husband's having a difficult time in work and getting very stressed about that. And she herself, who is on a faith journey for sure, says to him, "Do you believe God's got a plan for us?" And he goes, "Not sure." And she says, "Well, I do. And if he does, we're living in it. So whatever happens at work, that's part of where we're going." I said, "Did you just realise you have just been sharing faith with your husband?" And she went, "Ooh, I didn't realise. I'm not even sure I have faith of my own." For you personally, where is your heart at? Have you chosen to divinely listen? Not just this morning, but whenever you read this powerful seed. Or whenever you hear it, however you do it, that suits you and your styles and rhythms of life. I would challenge you, I challenge myself here actually, when you leave today, talk to someone about what you've heard, about what heart you think yours might be like right now. What soil best pictures your response to the Word of God. Talk about God. You don't have to talk about this, but talk about God. Make him a priority that infiltrates every area. Because it's through persevering that seed of life grows. There is a calling on your life. That is a calling to listen and hear the life-giving word of God and then tell it to others. I just want to end. I I didn't have one, so this is not my illustration. This is one of Jan's, actually. Imagine I had a big ball of wool. And at the very end of this, the tip of this ball of wool is a knot, a small knot. And I roll it as far up that this hole as I possibly can. That knot is our life. That teeny knot. Our 70, 80, 90, whatever years. That is our life. The rest is eternity. What we choose here in this knot matters. Here needs life. Here others need life. Because what happens after, what happens in eternity, is determined by whether or not we have ears to hear. Let's pray. Holy Jesus, I just pray that all of us this morning will choose to dig out rocks, turf up thorns, and put this powerful word, your redemptive message, deep in our hearts. So that, Jesus, we will see a crop. We will see people saved. We will see our church grow because people are choosing you and following you, Father. Jesus, put our hearts right and send us out. God, that's why we're here, I believe. And I ask, Jesus, that you will honour our honesty this morning and shift us a little further towards the good soil. Give us ears to hear. I pray this, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen.